سلام کعبه دلها حسین جان، سلام شمع ما فلها حسین جانم،
حسین جانم حسین جانم حسین جان.
شیطان الرجیم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحیم، الحمد لله رب العالمین، والصلاة والسلام على سید الانبیاء والمرسلین وعلی آله الطیبین الطاهرین، سیما بقیة الله فی الارضین، ولعنة الله علی عدائهم اجمعین من الان الى یوم الدین. صلو علی محمد و آل
محمد.
اما بعد، قال اللہ تبارک و تعالی فی کتاب الحکیم، اعوذ باللہ من الشیطان الرجیم، بسم اللہ الرحمن الرحیم، ان الصلاۃ تنہا عن الفحشاء والمنکر ولذکر اللہ اکبر. پلیز ریسائٹ الاؤڈ صلوات.
اللہم صلی علی محمد و آل محمد وعجل فرجہم.
اللہ سبحانہ و تعالی مینشننگ ان ہز بک دیٹ دا پریئر ریسٹرین فرام دا انڈیسنٹ اینڈ رانگ فل کانڈکٹ، رانگ فل بیہیویئر. And in this regard, the remembrance of Allah is surely greater. Today we will try to find out how salat, how namaz can prevent someone from doing fahsha and munkar. Is salat is some sort of police, or salat, what kind of a power salat has that it stop you from doing fahsha, from committing fahsha and munkar? And of course, remembrance of Allah is greater than that. What's the logic behind it? How does this salat help us? That's our question for today. It's connected with our previous speeches. The very first day we discussed what is religion and religiosity, and what's the criteria of religiosity. Over there we mentioned that it's not salat which can show your religiosity or someone's religiosity. Salat itself is not religion. Psalm itself is not religion. Zakat and khums itself is not religion. These are tool. As-salatu amududdin. Salat is a tool. You should do psalm and this is la'allakum tattaqun. Shayad that maybe you will become muttaqi. Same thing with the hajj, same thing with zakat. So these are the tools. That's why people get confused when they see someone having the tool, but the product is not there. This tool need to produce something. Of course, without this tool, you cannot achieve the product. You cannot get the product. But we need to find out what the product is. What's the product is? What we have to get through Salat. Where we have to reach through Saum. Where we have to reach through Hajj and paying Zakat. What's the product? And we said, like, we will look for the simple thing. Why do we pray? What's the intention? Everyone say, Qurbatan ilallah. We do that. We perform all these ibadat. We use all these tools to go near to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. To get the nearness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Like, for example, a carpenter, you ask, why do you use this tool? He said, I use this tool in order to make a furniture. So that furniture is the ultimate goal. These tools are not the ultimate goal. That's why if someone holding lots of in his garage, if he has thousands of the tool, it doesn't mean that he's a carpenter. He has to produce something which is compatible with the carpentry. Same thing, if someone is praying a lot, he has all this tool, and but the product is not coming out, it means that's he's not religious. Someone may be wearing the dress of religious, means that's required that religious, a religious person has to wear this kind of a dress, modest dress. The lady, they have to wear hijab and all those things. But if the person who is doing hijab, at the same time, the product is not there, you cannot call her religious completely. Yeah, they are using tool. They bought the tool, but they have to use the tool. So that was our first day conversation. And then he says, okay, so what's the meaning of nearness to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? What do you mean by nearness to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Isn't it there is an ayah in Quran where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, وَنَحْنُ أَقْرَبُ إِلَيْهِ مِنْ حَبْلِ الْوَرِيدِ. The meaning is, we are near to him than his jugular vein, this shahrag, the main vein we have. Allah is saying that I am nearer to a person than his this vein. I'm very close to him. And in another ayah, وَهُوَ مَعَكُمْ أَيْنَمَا كُنْتُمْ. And he is with you wherever you are. He is with you all the time. You're in US, you're somewhere else. You're in house, you're sleeping, you wake up, you're at work. Allah is with you all the time. So we don't understand now. One side you said that Allah is with us all the time, every single second. See, again, these are words of Quran. These are words of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. On the other side, we said that we have to be near Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. What that mean? If something is near or not near? If something is already near, how can you become nearer? How? You cannot understand this part. I have to give you an example. Sometimes something is near, one thing is near to other, but this thing is not paying attention. Let me give you this example. Sometime there are radio signals is near your device. You have a device and there are signals around it. But then these signals are near with this device. For example, I have this cell phone and there are Wi-Fi signals all around. These signals are near with my device. But then my device is not near with that. Why? Because I didn't put the code, I didn't put this frequency, I didn't attach this device with this signals. Sometime you have to put this frequency in order to match yourself with the signals. Allah is near us, very near us, but we are not near from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because we are not paying attention towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We are not paying attention towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When we start paying attention towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that's how we become near. See, now you understand? It's not the physical nearness. It's not the physical nearness. And we also mentioned through design. We went through this in a first majlis. where it said that when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said nafakhtu fihi mir ruhi, that mean we describe that this ruhi mean that this human has a capability to acquire the attributes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is the product we are looking. This is the product is needed by all these ibadat. This is the product we are looking for by using these tools. So if someone is praying, after praying, he has to be, if he need to be near Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, his attributes need to be like Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We discuss this part. Now, a young guy may ask, what are the attributes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? It's simple. You know, all these Asma'i Husna, all these names of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, all of them, they are like for example, you know that Allah, they mention that there are 99 names, Ar-Rahman. We need to know the meanings of these. The most merciful, what's the difference between Rahman and Rahim? Rahman and Rahim, most merciful, though both of them is most merciful. Rahman is most merciful in essence, in his dhat, he's most merciful. And when this mercy starts showing in actions, that it's called Rahim. So, if I have to be near Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, I have to be merciful with the humanity. I have to be merciful with the weaker people. I have to be merciful with the other people. Then we will find out if my prayers are accepting, Allah is accepting my prayer or not. I'm connecting with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Not necessary that I have to be as merciful as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I have to have some mercy in my heart, in my soul. If Allah said, I am Al-Malik, He's the king, He's the owner, then we have to be, He is the one who controls. Then we have to control our desires. We have to control our tongue and control our ears and eyes. Then we will find out we are going near Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He's Al-Quddus, most holy. We have to be holy. He's As-Salam. He's a peace and he's a source of peace and safety. See, the mu'min need to be, when he goes near other people feel safe and secure from his personality. It's not that mu'min reach to another person and this person now is scared. That this person came in my sitting and now I'm not sure what he's going to say about me. How he's going to harm me. See, now we have to understand the reality of the religion. That's why the religion came. The religion didn't came that they have to punish you. Go and pray. Stand up, sit down, do sajda, and stay calm, do not move, do not think. It's not a punishment. There is a procedure by which this is the product need to become out. Gradually. I'm not saying at one time you will get this. Gradually. We have to get all this. He's Al-Aziz, Almighty. Most honorable. We have to be honorable. We have to be honorable. Honorable means we have to be at the time of anger and desires, we have to be overcome. We have to overcome on these things. And there are so many, you just go name it. Razzaq. He's the ultimate provider. We have to provide. No matter how much we have, less or more, we have to provide. We have to feed. This is Islam. This is religion. His basir. See, there is two things in Islam. There are two vocabularies in Arabic. Basar and basir. Basar, looking by this ordinary eyes, just looking or apparent something. Basir, the deeps. Seeing something behind the scene. In-depth seeing. Is basir. We have to be basir. We cannot say, we are ordinary people. We don't understand what's going on in this world. No, we have to be basir. It's kabir. He's khabir. He's all aware. We need to be aware. and Ghafoor, forgiving. When we live with each other, people make mistakes. We have to forgive. We have to forgive. Is Shakur. We have to be, when we are with the people, we have to be grateful with the other people. We have to thank other people. If these qualities are coming, and again, Kareem, generous, Mujib, he answers. We have to answer other people's call. Hakim, wise, Wadood, he is loving. We have to love everyone. Even all humans need to be loved. All animals need to be loved. All creations need to be loved. I give you the stories. Even our ulama, they didn't even kill cockroaches. They say somehow clean the house. They don't even come in our house. We don't want to kill a living being. This is wadood, because they reach through these ibadat, where that's the nearness to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now you understand what's the nearness to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mean? You acquire these attributes. I just want to make sure that the children understand what's the nearness to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That's the product we are looking. That's we are after. Now we understand that we need to be near Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and that will be the success. That will be the success and ultimate success when we near to the Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now let's go back and see what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said. How do you get this success? A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim. Bismillahir rahmanir rahim. Allah said, Qad aflahal mu'minun. The mu'min, they will be successful. Who are those people? Allazina hum fi salatihim khashi'un. Only those mu'minin. Allah says there are several mu'minin. The successful mu'minin are the one, they are khashi. They have a khushu. They have humbleness in their salat. Now we understand why when we see that so many people are praying, why the societies are not changing, why the communities are not changing, because we are not khashi in our salat. And Allama Tabatabai was mentioning that the less the khushu, the less is iman. This khushu is directly proportional with iman. Directly proportional. And I mentioned this yesterday. We did this yesterday, that khushu is something to do with love. Khushu is a state of your heart. A state of your heart when you see something magnificent, that heart bow down. And it cannot be achieved without love. That's why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made this arrangement, that He asked us to do love with Ahlul Bayt. La as'alukum alayhi ajran illa al-mawaddata fil qurba. We are not asking anything but mawadda fil qurba, the love for Ahlul Bayt. Because if you have this love through these personalities, I mentioned this yesterday, that if you cannot comprehend Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you can see their Allah's attribute manifested in the personalities of Ahlul Bayt. If you start loving them, you will start loving Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. See, ishq is important. This path is needed. It's not an optional path. It's not an optional path. If someone doesn't have this iman, even shaitan, ilm is not going to resolve the problem. You know, shaitan, he know his ilm is perfect. He know Allah is the creator. There are ayats in Quran. I'm skipping those ayats. He know that, he said that you created me with fire, you created Adam with clay. He's telling him that I know you are the creator. And then he's asking a permission, let me live through day of judgment. He's believing in day of judgment. He believes in prophets and everyone, but still he's kafir. Why? Because ilm is one thing, iman is something else. When this ilm, people absorb it with ishq, then it becomes iman. This is needed. So now we understand this khushu is going, we are going to get it through Ahlul Bayt. And I gave you this example that in the majalis, when we attach with Aba Abdullah, our situation change, our heart situation change. And I, as Imam Jafar Sadiq alayhi salam mentioned, Man arad Allah bi khair, to whoever Allah subhanahu wants have khair, qazafa fi qalbihi hubbul Husain wa ziyaratihi. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala poured the love of Imam Hussein in his heart. And then it says that hubbullah, if you have this hub of Allah, because hubb Imam Hussein is hubbullah. Hubbullah is the only thing which can burn all the other attachment. He says, Hubbullah narun. Hubbullah is a fire. La tamurru ala shayin. It never pass on anything illa tariq, but it burn that things. Only through Hubbe Khuda. Look, all you mu'mineen, they just came from the ziyarat of Karbala. You know that. The people over here, they cannot go like a 5-minute walk. They have to go through car. You ask someone, my child, go and get something from the store. He says, okay, dad, I'm going to give me the key. You says, can you go and turn on the channel? He says, give me the remote control. I need a remote control for each and everything. Just give me a remote. I mean, they wish that remote, and there should be a robot around that should serve them. But the same mu'min, same child who grew up in a West, with all this comfort and everything, what make him walk for 80 kilometers? What things make him walk? This love, other than, is it anything other than love? That's only love which make him walk and go through this suffering. So love has an importance in this equations, complete equation. And like yesterday I recited this ayah, Alam ya'ni lil-ladina amanu an taqsha'a qulubuhum li dhikrillah. What happened after that? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, what happened? Why your hearts are not doing khushu with zikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? And after that, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, what's happened with the other people? They didn't do khushu. Their heart become stone hearted. You have to get this part. So, after crossing these things, now we are going our question for today. How come this salat can prevent us, restrain us from fahsha and munkar? How? We have to go back again design. We have to go back to the design. Dr. Farooq normally come over here, and I'm pretty sure he may explain these things because that's his area majority. But I'm going to just give you a few ideas from the Irfan. When this creation starts, I'm not going through this ayat now because I have less time. I have to just complete this. I have to answer this question today. When this creation process starts for the human being, it's same soul, but it has three states. They says the first time the vegetative soul come. Now pay attention this part. This vegetative soul. First, human has three souls. It's one soul, but there are three categories. You look at from the three different angles. One of them is a vegetative soul. This vegetative soul is common between animals, plants, and human. It's common between all three of them. What that vegetative soul do? It basically produce, it gives the growth. It gives growth to things. And then you know that because of this vegetative soul, the plants grow. Animals grow, humans grow. At one point in the mother's womb, the second soul come, and that's animalistic soul. This animalistic soul is common between human and animal. Now, the plants, they don't have animalistic soul. What are the attributes of the animalistic soul? The animalistic soul has Khue shahwaniye wa khue ghazabiye, force of attraction and force of repulsion. Why it's needed? What is force of attraction? I'm just making a simple English translation. Otherwise, the real name is khue shahwaniye. قوه شهوانیه، قوه غضبیه. That's the, these are the two attributes of animalistic soul. What that mean? Look, I give you a simple example. This child, when it born, it has to communicate, I am hungry. This force, this thirst and hunger is coming from force of attraction. He is forcing him to cry. So the mother knows that he is hungry. This is force of attraction. Anything which attracts things, kuwe shahwaniye. You know, these forces, these things is in animals and humans. And then at one point, human soul come. And now human has these different characteristics. He has this force of kuwe shahwaniye, force of attraction, force of repulsion, ghazab. An example of this ghazab is this. I'm sitting here. If I'm talking with you, right at this moment, a mosquito will bite me. Immediately, my hand will go and try to kill that. Try to repel this pain. This is force of repulsion. Kuwe ghazabiye. The child, his diaper is dirty. He start crying. Something bite him, he start crying. This is what kuwe ghazabiye. Trying to attract. See, this is a little bit dry portion. If you pay attention to this, we'll pass this portion. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave humans these things so he can survive. How? If he will never feel hunger, human is such, he will never go to eat anything and he will die. If he'll not have this feeling of thirst, he's not going to drink. You know, there are so many things needed for our existence. We don't do it. Exercise is needed. We don't do it because there is no such thing. There is no feeling of exercise. There is no built-in power for exercise. So you don't do it. Although you know, everyone knows how exercise, how important it is, but you never do it. But then if Allah have not done these forces inside you, this force of attraction and force of repulsion, you may have not done this part. So this force of attraction attract one man and woman so they come together. This force of attraction basically he bring him towards the security. He wanna live in a house so he can save his body from the harsh weathers. This force of attraction make him to compile something, compile a food. This force of attraction make him to earn money. So he can have a secure future. All these force of attractions and repulsions are there for human's body's existence and for to saving the human body. It's been given there. It's given to the human by as a tool that you use these. Again, I was like in Seattle about 10-15 years ago, and in the Seattle Times they published a report. You know, this nerve system, this pain is a blessing from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This child, she had a problem with the nerve system. She cannot feel the pain. And now everyone was worried in school because they were worried that if this child gonna, normally if she cut the hand, she can't realize that her hand got cut and the blood is flowing and she may die. So in school, they were watching her all the time because she may touch the hot, like heater or something, and burn her hand, and she was not feeling the pain. So this pain is a blessing from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is like what? Force of attraction and repulsion. These are given by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala so we can save this body. And what's the real purpose? To serve soul. But what happened? What happened? In this world, okay, what is fahsha, first of all? Our question is again, let's come back to our question. Salat prevent us, restrain us from committing fahsha and munkar, indecent actions and indecent behavior, right? What are indecent behavior? What's the definitions of indecent behavior? The behavior which will take you away from Allah. The behavior which is done by your carnal desires, right? Your shahwat, your ghazab. So what happened? Allah gave him all these tools, so you can use this tool to serve your soul. Yesterday I mentioned this part, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made human body in mother's womb completely. All the system, the digestive system, you name it, all the systems are complete over there. When this child comes in this world, all he has to, body just size-wise change. The size of the body change. This world is not to change, make your body. It's going to make automatically. All you have to do, just provide the necessary food and other things. Why you came in this world? To make, to grow, make your soul perfect. This is the requirement. This is the requirement. And we are in transit. We came here to make our soul perfect so we can start our real life when this world finish. That's why we came in this world. We didn't came in this world that, all right, well, let's bring him over here in this world because we are building paradise and hell. They're in process, they're under construction, so you stay here in a hotel. No, that's not the design. The hell and paradise are there, still there. You came here to build the soul, and then there will be an exit, and you go to the real life. The real life starts from there. This is just a process. Like, for example, the exactly same way the mother is not designed to stay in mother's womb. Over there, it's just to build the body, and then need to come out. And then he come out, then here in this world, need to build the soul. And when you build the soul, then you basically go over there. Now, how do you build the soul? When you follow all the instructions from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And Allah gave you these tools. Like, what happened? Sometimes what's happened? Like, the father, he is a leader. The child, he is like, he need to obey the father, right? He need to listen to him. But what happens? Sometimes the child becomes spoiled, right? How he becomes spoiled? Well, the father has to provide for the child. Provide for his food, provide for his dress, provide for everything. It's needed, right? But then if he start going, start listening more and more to the child realize now, I am the one who is leader over here. I am the one who got a control. Now the child start asking more and more and more. And that's called, we call a spoiled child, right? So you are supposed to have, father need to have a control. Now here, the child is the one who is controlling father. Design is totally got corrupted. Everything get corruption here. Because the child is spoiled now. Exact same thing with happened with our desires. Allah gave us this force of attraction. Force of eating. Okay, I'm hungry. I'm hungry. I'm thirsty. I'm hungry. But then he says, okay, there's a limit. You're not supposed to eat each and everything. No, I love. Because smell is very good. I don't care whether this is halal or haram. I'm going to eat it. Again, now this force is becoming like a spoiled child. It was supposed to control by the soul. Soul need to have a command that you don't do that. I'll provide everything what you need. I will provide food for you, but not every food. Now they're sitting on one table, and then there are five people, and the soul is saying, these desires are saying, I have to, because that's the best food. I love this food. I'm going to eat all. See, these feelings, they are becoming like a spoiled child. And they're getting out of control. And when you do out of control, one by one, the ear is saying, no, I love to hear. I don't care. I want to love the hear this music, whether this bad music or good music. The tongue is saying, I want to do backbiting. I love this because I'm sitting with my friend. I want to do whatever I want to do. See, all these things are now a fahsha. Now, how salat is going to come and control this? How salat is going to come? See, that's what the requirement is. So, what was the required by design? That soul is the leader. Soul is the manager. Soul is Rabb. Soul is Lord. And all these forces need to serve soul. Yes, soul has to provide for them, but then the end, they are the one who have to serve the soul. But now what happened? They are, soul is serving them now. They're controlling soul. They say, like I saying, I wanna see that bad scene. Soul says, Josh, okay. Follow. Aye, sir. And he's looking at the bad scene. Right? Otherwise, if the real soul may have in control, the soul may say, shut your eye. And he has to shut the eye. Okay. If like the ear wanna listen to bad music, the ear says, soul, I have to listen to that. And soul says, aye. I listen to you, boss, whatever you say. And just listening, keep listening. Mean, who is in control? The desires, carnal desires are in control. Soul is becoming weaker and weaker. Again, the same way, when the father makes the child spoil, father becomes weaker and weaker and weaker, and the child is becoming stronger and stronger and stronger and stronger. Spoiled and spoiled and spoiled and spoiled. The same way, our desires become spoiled. Now, how this going to get, how are we going to get the control back? Please recite aloud, salawat. Please recite another salawat. Imam Jafar Sadiq alayhi salam. He opened the secret of Abu Diyah. He opened that secret of Abudiyah. Someone came and says, Imam, what's the benefit of Abudiyah? And Imam is now giving the reason. He said, Al-Abudiyatu. Abudiyat means servitude. I clearly mentioned, Abudiyat doesn't mean ibadat. Abudiyat means servitude. Which means listening, all these carnal desires, they have to listen to your soul. All this carnal desire, all this soul need to obey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah is Rabb, right? In the Dua Kumail, to whom you call, Ya Rabbi. You call Rabbi. You don't call Ya Khaliqi. You don't call this thing. This Rabb has some importance. Rabb is the one who manage and control in a daily affair. Every second. That's why it's called in Farsi, they can understand easily. Murabbi come from Rabb. Murabbi mean coach, trainer. Trainer has to work with you all the time. Trainer is there, you're in the field, and he's there all the time with you and instructing you, do this, do that, don't do that. That's not a good word. Look for, imagine you're in a training camp and this coach has to train you, right? He says, look for your health. In order to be perfectly perfect, you have to eat this. You're not supposed to eat this. You have to sleep at this time. You have to wake up at this time. You have to, this is your weak area. Need to improve this weak area. That's the job of the coach. And if someone is following that coach, he's doing abudiyah to that coach. Yes, sir. He says, go sleep on this time. Says, yes, sir, I. He says, go eat this food. Don't eat this junk food. He says, okay. Now he's doing servitude. Now you understand what's the meaning of servitude? Servitude, this namaz is just one example. Because the murabbi said, go stand up and pray. He says, I, sir. You're doing it, that's example of that servitude, not a complete servitude. Complete servitude, you say everything, yes, sir, to the coach. The imam is saying, what's the secret of abudiyah? What's the secret of this servitude? As abudiyatu jawharatun. Al-abudiyah, the nucleus of abudiyah. Kunhoha, the essence of abudiyah. Ar-rabubiyah. Strange. The jawhar, the nucleus of servitude, the essence of servitude is what? Lordship. You'll be a lord. You be a do servitude and you will be lord. Strange. Strange. See, abudiyat will give you control. Control on whom? Because control requires two parties. Controller and the things you control. Now you understand. Abudiyat will give control back to soul. Make your soul rabub. Make your soul controller. Make your soul murabbi. What that means? When you are basically, you will do abudiyah. Now, how this is going to happen? How is this going to happen? Because now you will have practice. Like someone says, go do salat. And he's listening and going towards salat. The abudiyat, his soul is becoming stronger because he is near. Exactly the same way I mentioned that. When you are, if you bring a metal near magnet, if you bring a metal near magnet, and this metal stay in the magnetic field, this metal start getting the characteristics of this magnet. When you go near, the soul becomes weaker and weaker through carnal desires. And if you want to give control back to the soul, bring it towards abudiyah. Bring him under the noor of this abudiyah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the soul will get power from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and will become stronger and stronger and stronger and stronger. And now, when it's strong again, he says, all right, I was saying, I want to see that. Now he says, no, come on. That's bad. Because it's becoming stronger now. Ear is saying, let me listen to this. Hold on. What are you doing? See, that's what we happen. When we were weaker one time and we become stronger, then in a start, something happened in our heart. Let's do it. And then something came and stop it. That's called taqwa. This power, this source, this strength which is coming from the near. So when you stand up for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, itself it thinks that you're going toward, you're listening towards Allah subhanahu. It's basically your soul is becoming stronger. You stand up, it's a practice. It's a practice. It's a practice. You stand up. See, your eyesight wanna see something else. Your friend, someone knock at the door. I'm talking with my children. They may ask most of the time, what's the benefit of salat? I say, here is the benefit of salat. You basically have a practice, like you normally, you go in an army boot camp and they make you do practice and make you strong, right? Here, this is a boot camp. You're standing, normally you do not have a control on your eyesight. It says, stand up over here. Keep your face towards Qibla. Do not turn your eyes. You want to turn your eyes. Someone knock at your door. I want to see. No, you're not allowed. He's saying something to me. Hey, Ali, come on out. I have to respond using my tongue. No, you're not allowed. You're in a boot camp. You're in a practice. You have to control your tongue. You have to control your eyes. You have to control your hands. I want to do something. I want to jump. No, you're not supposed to. You know, some children, I noticed that when we were in Sunday school and used to teach some people, some children, they're active, they're very active children. But the same child is standing in a namaz, is not active. Practice. He want to jump. He says, no, you're not allowed to. I want to eat. No, you're not allowed to. I'm thirsty. No, you're not allowed to. Wait for a few seconds. See, this is practice. This is practice. And what this practice is for? Again, this is just, I'm giving you ordinary practice. We can go deep in each and every word of salat and discuss what's the meaning, exactly what's going on there. Exactly what's going on with this. The salat is giving you practice. The soul is becoming stronger. Soul is becoming, what's becoming weaker? Your carnal desires. This force of attraction and repulsion. And I didn't even discuss about the force of imagination. Here we fail. Here we fail. Most of us fail in force of imagination. Right? That's why our salats are not complete most of the time. It's not, the khushu is not coming because we are just imagining things, right? This force of imagination also need to get controlled. Please recite aloud salawat.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad.
So now we understand that's how this, the meaning of this, that's the meaning of as-salatu tanha anil fahsha'i wal munkar. And yesterday we mentioned that. What this ayah said, the zikrullah akbar. And the zikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is akbar. And yesterday we discussed that. When it says, la as'alukum alayhi ajran illa al-mawaddata fil qurba. On the second other ayah it says, le zikril alameen. This muwaddat for qurba is exactly a zikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It's zikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So if you are attached with A'imma alayhi salam, that's zikr. And that zikr will, what will do? Will keep your heart if you're really doing zikr. See, I'm not talking about here, I'm not talking about not a single moment, I'm not doing a slip service. Even someone is coming in majlis and he's just coming because his family used to come, he's not coming with love, and he's just doing matam and looking around, he's laughing and everything, he's doing matam, he's not doing this matam because of the love. I'm not talking about these. If someone is doing that, these ibadah, these zikr will prevent him from bad behavior. From bad behavior. That's why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala did mercy that he basically provide the love of Ahlul Bayt in our heart. And he asked us, قُلَّا أَسْأَلُكُمْ أَلَيْهِ أَجْرًا إِلَّا الْمَوَدَّةَ فِي الْقُرْبَى. That I ask you to do mawadda. And I told you the mawadda doesn't mean just love. Mawadda means more than that. When the love starts showing in actions, then it's mawadda. Which means not only saying to Hazrat Zahra, Salamullah illa, I love you. No. In your action, you have to show that you love her. It's not by word you say, Imam Ali, that I love you. No. Through your action, you say to them that I love you. It's not with Aba Abdullah that I love you. Ya Aba Abdullah, Ya Hazrat Abbas, Ya Zainab, I love you. No. Through your action, you say, Mawadda means the love through action, not by word, not by lip service. But then what happened? What happened? Instead of this love, they crushed Hazrat Zahra, Salamullah alayha, between door and the wall. What they did? They struck the sword on the head of Imam Ali. They gave poison to Imam Hassan. It was narrated that Muawiyah attempted 6 times to kill Imam. And then finally, he used Ju'da to poison Imam. She mixed this poison with water. Imam one time wake up at night, he was thirsty. He drank this water. As soon as he drank the water, the glass fell from his hand. Zainab came forward and she saw that Imam is saying something else. He's saying, Bismillah, razan bi qaza'ihi wa tasliman li amri. She started crying. She called Imam Hussein. Imam Hussein came at the last moment. It's Imam Hassan's last moment. Imam came to see him. Imam burst into tears when he saw Imam Hassan sitting and throwing the chunk of his liver. This poison was very harsh. It was a type of the poison which Roman emperor sent to Muawiyah and was sent by ensuring that no one touches it. It has been placed in a vessel that nothing can penetrate it because it was a pure acid. Poison which make Imam Hassan vomit the chunk of his liver. When Imam Hussein saw him, he started crying. He hold the brother and start crying. But he is surprised that Imam Hassan looked at his face and said, look at Imam Hussein and start crying. Imam Hussein said, brother, why you are crying by looking at me? He said, brother, I'm seeing something which you're not seeing at this time. This day is not harsh on me, but I'm looking at day. La yawmaka yawmaka ya Aba Abdullah. There is no day like your day. There will be a day where 30,000 people will emerge. They will try to seek the pleasure of God by shedding your blood. Then Imam said something. He said that you will ask for the help and there will be no one to help at that moment. At one moment, Imam started saying, Salam, As-salamu alayka ya jaddi. Oh, my salam to you, O Rasulullah, O my jad. As-salamu alayka ya abi. My salam for you, ya mef, O my father. As-salamu alayka ya ummi. My salam to you, O my mother. Imam came forward. He saw that Imam passed away. He said, Inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un. Zainab started crying. Farwa started crying.
Umm Kulsum started crying, but Imam's misery did not stop here. When they brought Imam's holy body to bury near the grave of Holy Prophet, Aisha didn't allow him to bury near his death. Abbas took the sword. Abbas was walking with him. Abbas was so brave. He took out the sword, but Imam Hussein stopped him. While Imam was talking with Hazrat Abbas, that they start throwing arrow, and the arrow pierced the holy body of Imam. Imam Hussein asked to take the body back to the home. Zainab was surprised at why the body came back. Imam said, "Sister, forget it this time. Just sit down and take the arrows out from the holy body." Now they are sitting. Imam Kulsum is sitting over there. Hazrat Zainab is sitting over there taking the arrows out from the holy body. This was one day when Imam is there, Hazrat Abbas is there, and Zainab remember this day. Then there is another day is coming on 11th of Muharram, when the caravan of Usara, they're going towards Kufa. They took them intentionally near the Godiya Katlega. At that time, Hazrat Zainab threw herself from the back of the camel and came near to the Imam Hussein, saw that Imam's body, it was full of arrows. She was over there. She was looking at Imam with this hasra. She was saying, "Oh brother, I am ashamed. You were thinking why I'm not taking these arrows out. But what can I do? My hands are tied." Imam knew that Imam Hussein's time will be tougher than him. That's why he prepared his three sons. His three sons were present in the Karbala to help Imam. At one time, Imam Hussein called in Ashur, the day of Ashura. "Is there anyone to help me? Is there anyone to protect the haram of Rasulullah?" Says the Imam was Imam. Help, the Imam screaming for the help, and at this time the people start crying. Even the wife of this Christian person, Umm Wahab, she was like, one time she was telling to her husband not to go to the battlefield, do not make sure you don't get killed. When she heard the call of the help from Imam, she was start asking Wahab, "Why you're not going to help this person?" Wahab said to his wife, "Why? There are just few moments ago you were asking me to save my life. Now you're saying to go and help Imam." She says, "Now no one is there to help him. Go help the holy family." And this is the case with the other people, but with the case of the son of Imam Hassan. Imam Hassan, when Imam cried for the help, Hazrat Qasim came forward. He ran towards his uncle. "Uncle, allow me to go." Now Hazrat Qasim is only 13 years old. He's only 13 years old. Imam was allowing everyone to go to the battlefield, but here Imam stopped him. He says, "No, I'm not going to allow you to go. You are the orphan of my brother Hassan. You are the shabby of my brother Hassan. Whenever I want to see my brother, I see you." Here Imam Hazrat Qasim start crying. The Ravi said, then he start kissing. He fell himself on the feet of Imam. He start kissing the hand and feet of the Imam. "Oh, Ammu, please allow me to go. Please allow me to go." He did so much that Imam says, "Okay, I give you the permission." And they both said, Imam hugged him. And they start crying until they got fainted. Then Imam allowed him to go. Now Qasim is too young to have a helmet. Qasim is too young to have his armor. Imam took his turban. He cut him in half, then cut again that half and put that turban on Imam Qasim's head. Then he put the other part of the turban on his shoulders. He want to make sure that Qasim looks a little bit bigger. Now Qasim want to go. There is no armor which can fit the body of the Qasim. Qasim is hurry. Ammulay, let me go. Ammu, let me go. Ammu, let me go. And Qasim wanna go. Imam allowed him to go. Now Qasim is coming towards the enemy. The enemy report. This some boy was coming. He was like the moonlight. He was like a moon. He was coming and we were surprised. Who is this boy? Ali Akbar already killed. Who is this boy? Someone said, he's a son of Imam Hassan. Imam Hazrat Qasim came. Ana ibn al-Hasan. Amna illam tankaruni. If you don't recognize me, I am the son of Hassan. He came and started fighting. He came and started fighting. At one time, an enemy struck an arrow on his head, and Imam Qasim fell. He cried for the Imam, "Oh, Ammu, come help me." Imam rushed towards the Qasim. When he came, Imam was as a Qasim on his last breath. Imam came and says, Qasim was shivering. Imam came, I'm sorry, your Ammu is ashamed from you. He called for the help, and your Ammu is not able to help him. Imam came, sit down with him. He lay down near the Qasim. He put his cheek on the Qasim's cheek. Alalanatullah al-qawm al-zalimin wa qayadat sayalamu al-lazina ayyam zalamu ayyamun qalibin yanqalibun matam al-Husayn
salame kabeye delha Husayn salame sham ima Felha Hussein Jonam
Hussein Jonam Hussein Jonam Hussein Jonam Hussein Jonam Hussein Jonam Hussein Jonam
Salame Babera Matba Bejanna Salame Babera Matba Bejanna Salame mi veye kalbe payambar Salame mi veye kalbe payambar Salame zadeye zahra Hussein janam
Hussein janam Hussein janam Hussein janam Hussein janam Hussein Janam Hussein Janam
Hamishe Balaban Name to Bosham Hamishe Balaban Name to Bosham Hamiguyam Ke Ey Mawla Hussein Janam Kamatra Azdelo Janmi Pazirina Matra azdelo jami pazira konam bar po azo yasra Hussein janam
Hussein janam Hussein janam Hussein janam Hussein janam Hussein janam Hussein janam
salame kabeye Delha Hussein Jonam Salame Kabeye Delha Hussein Jonam Salame Sham Ima Felha Hussein Jonam
Hussein Jonam Hussein Jonam Hussein Jonam Hussein Jonam Hussein Jonam Hussein Jonam
Salame babera matba bejana Salame babera matba bejana Salame rahbare wala Hussein jana Salame mi feye kalbe payamba Salame
Os جانم حسین جانم
همیشه بلبم نام تو باشد همیشه بلبم نام تو باشد همی گویم که ای مولا حسین جانم غمت را از دل و جان می‌پذیرم غمت را از دل و جان می‌پذیرم کنم برپا از آیت را حسین جانم
حسین جانم حسین جانم حسین جانم حسین جانم حسین جانم حسین جانم حسین جانم حسین جانم حسین جانم حسین جانم حسین جانم حسین جانم حسین جانم